She wouldn't make up a story like that. She couldn't. But the other side of his mind argued, why wouldn't she? She's desperate to save her husband and protect her son. She might say anything if she thought it would help Victor. As he slid back the door to his compartment, he saw that the phone's yellow message light was blinking in the darkness. A message. His heart began thumping. From Atlanta. It must be an answer to my calls to Atlanta. Flicking on the ceiling lights, Danvers rushed to the compartment's flimsy little desk and told the phone to display the message. It was indeed from Atlanta, from the Archbishop himself. Carnaby's wrinkled, bald, gnomish features took form in the phone's small display screen. He was unsmiling, his eyes flinty.
Bishop Danvers, I'm replying to your messages personally because your case is of one of extreme importance to the numerality movement.
Danvers felt immensely grateful. The Archbishop is replying to me personally. Even though he knew it would take half an hour at least to get a reply back to Earth, he automatically started to frame his message of gratitude to the Archbishop. Carnaby was going on, however.
A great American said once that extremism in the defense of our values is no vice. I can appreciate the extreme measures you took to discredit the godless scientists you've been battling against, but in our battle against these secularists, the movement must be seen by the general public as being beyond reproach, above suspicion. Your methods, once exposed to the public, will bring suspicion and discredit upon us all.
But I didn't do it, Danvers screamed silently at Carnaby's implacable image. I haven't done anything discreditable. Lara can prove it.
Therefore, the Archbishop continued, I have no choice but to ask you for your resignation from the numerality. One man must not be allowed to throw doubt upon our entire movement. I know this seems harsh to you, but it is for the higher good. Remember that a man may serve God in many ways, and your way will be to resign your office and your ordination in the movement. If you refuse, you will be put on public trial as soon as you return to Earth and found guilty. I'm truly sorry it has to be this way, but you have become a liability to the numerality, and no individual, no matter who he is, can be allowed to threaten our work. May God be merciful to you.
The screen went blank. Danvers stared at it for long, wordless minutes. His mind seemed unable to function. His chest felt constricted. It was an effort just to breathe. At last, blinking with disbelief, lungs rasping painfully, Danvers realized that he had been drummed out of the numerality movement, thrown out into the gutter, just as the gamblers had done to him all those long years ago. All my work, all my years of service, they mean nothing, he thought. Lara's claim to know who actually planted the false evidence won't move them. I've been tainted, and they will be merciless with me. I'm ruined. Destroyed. I have nowhere to go. No one to turn to. Even if I could prove my innocence, they wouldn't take me back. I'm tainted, unclean. My life is over, he told himself.
Lara returned to her compartment, where Victor was still tossing fitfully in their bed. She sat at the desk and sent a message to Victor Jr., smiling reassuringly for her son and telling him she and his father would be back home in a few weeks. Then she sat, wide awake, until Victor rose groggily from the roiled bedclothes and blinked sleep-fogged eyes at her. "You're up?" he asked dully. "I couldn't sleep." He padded barefoot to the lavatory. She heard him urinate, then wash his face. He came back, hair still tousled, but looking reasonably alert. "Victor," Lara heard herself ask him, "at Mance's trial, did you tell the truth about the Sky Tower's construction?" He looked instantly wary. "Why do you ask that?" "Did you tell the truth? It was so many years ago. Did you deliberately lie to put the blame on Mance?" Melina stood next to the lavatory doorway, wearing nothing but his wrinkled underpants, staring at his wife. "I've got to know, Victor," said Lara. "You've got to tell me the truth now." He shuffled to the bed and sat wearily on it. "The tower collapsed," Melina said. "There was nothing any of us could do about that. They were going to blame it on Mance anyway. He didn't have a chance in hell of getting out of that trial alive. I wanted you, Lara. I've always wanted you, but as long as Mance was around, you wouldn't even look at me. Lara said nothing. She didn't know what she could say. I wanted Mance out of the way, he admitted, his voice so low she could barely hear him. I was so crazy in love with you. I still am. He burst into tears. Lara got up from the desk chair and went to the bed. Cradling her husband's head in her arms, she crooned soothingly, I understand, darling, I understand. I shouldn't have done it, I know, Melina blubbered. I ruined Mance's life, but I did it for you, for you. Lara was quite dry-eyed. What's done is done, she said. Mance is dead now. We've got to live the rest of our lives. As she held him, Lara did not think of Mance Bracknell, nor of the strangely vicious man who called himself Dante Alexius. She did not think of Bishop Danvers, or her husband, really, or even of herself. She thought of their son, only Victor Jr. He was the only one who mattered now.
Sunrise. The rim of the slowly rising sun was like molten lava pouring heat into the tractor's little bubble of a cab. Yamagata saw that Alexios was steering directly toward the sunrise and the yawning rift. What are you doing? He demanded. Turning the lumbering vehicle just before it reached the edge of the fault line, Alexios leaned on the brakes. The tractor ground to a halt. We get off here, he said. I thought, let's stretch our legs a little, said Alexios, popping the hatch on his side of the glass steel bubble. Although he felt nothing inside his spacesuit, Yamagata realized that all the air in the cabin immediately rushed into the vacuum outside. Alexios turned back toward him and tapped the keypad on the wrist of his spacesuit. Yamagata heard the man's voice in his helmet earphones. We'll have to use the suit radios to speak to one another now.
You intend to kill me, then?
Yamagata asked as he opened the hatch on his side. You murdered 4 million people, Alexios said, his voice strangely soft, almost amused. I think executing you was a simple act of justice.
I see.
Yamagata clambered slowly down from his seat to the hard, rock-strewn, airless ground. I'm in the hands of a madman, he thought. In case you're wondering, Alexios said as he walked around the tractor toward Yamagata, your suit radio won't reach the base, not without the tractor's relay, and I've disabled the tractor's outgoing frequency.
I can't call for help, then, said Yamagata.
Neither can I. With that, Alexios touched a control stud on his suit, and the tractor started up again, silently churning up puffs of dust from the ground, and started trundling away from them.
You're not going with it? Yamagata asked, surprised.
No, I'll stay here with you. We'll die together. Back at the base, they'll see the tractor's beacon and think everything is normal. Until it's too late.
Yamagata almost laughed. This is a simple act of justice.
Maybe not so simple after all, Alexios agreed. I've been dispensing justice for several days, but I don't quite seem to have the proper knack for it. Alexios stepped closer to him. Yamagata backed away a few steps, then realized the edge of the fault rift was close behind him.
Dispensing justice?
He asked, stalling for time to think.
What do you mean?
Molina and Danvers, Alexios answered easily. I'm the one who brought those Martian rocks here. I led Molina to them, and he took the bait like the fool that he is.
And Danvers?
I put the blame on him. Now they're both heading back to Earth in disgrace.
You've deliberately ruined their careers.
They deserve it. They destroyed my life, the two of them. They took everything I had.
He's insane, Yamagata told himself.
The tractor was dwindling slowly, lumbering off toward the disturbing close edge of the horizon.
Message for Mr. Yamagata,
he heard the voice of the base controller in his helmet's earphones.
From the captain of the freighter Zenobia.
Alexios spread his gloved hands.
We can't reply to them.
Then what? The controller didn't wait for an acknowledgement.
Here's the incoming message, sir.
Yamagata heard a soft click, and then a different voice spoke. "Sir,